Good morning, Cedar Creekers, and welcome to another one of our virtual messages here at Cedar Creek Community Church. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on fear and anxiety. Just like last week, we're going to do things just a little bit differently than we normally would. We're going to be doing a short 25-ish minute message, and then we're going to follow it up with a discussion where I'm going to invite Pastor Mark and Pastor Rob up to join us. And so we'll be able to discuss the topic at hand. So, last week, we spent our time talking about fear and anxiety, specifically going through the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we went through the first half of that chapter, and we went through verses 1 through 19, and we explored some of the fears that the people were experiencing, specifically in relation to there were three invading nations coming up against the people of Judah, Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. And then we talked about some of the anxieties that they could have been experiencing with that impending threat, some of the concerns that husbands and wives and soldiers and people would have been really wrestling through and working through. And we also talked about the relationship between fear and anxiety. So they had this imposing threat of three invading nations coming up against them. And so they had some very real threats before them, a very real thing to be afraid about. And we talked about how fear is a form of anxiety, and anxiety in its broader context includes fear, but it also includes fear and worry and concerns about imagined or perceived threats. And so we worked through some of those things, and we talked about how anxiety can be like an octopus, where it can wrap its tentacles around our mind, and it can begin to dictate the way we think and the way we experience life and the decisions that we make, and how we have to be very careful to not allow those tentacles to wrap themselves around our mind. And we saw that the people of Judah and Jerusalem really turned their gaze towards focusing on the sovereignty of God in the midst of this difficulty. And they also turned their gaze onto God and focused on his promises throughout this difficult time. And so we were able to really kind of look at those two things and see how we can use them to combat our fear and anxiety as we wrestle through very real threats in our lives and also perceived threats that we experience in our day-to-day. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to continue this series, and we're going to go through the second half of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, specifically verses 18 through 34. But before we dig in, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about this subject, to talk about us combating our fears and anxieties, and just all the different things that we experience as believers. Father, I just ask that as we walk through this story together, that you'd be helping us experience you in a new way, that you'd be helping us lay these burdens down at your feet, that you'd be helping us really just refocus our gaze on you, and that you would be helping us work through those difficult things in our lives. And so I pray for each one of us who are tuned in today that you would help us experience you in a new way, experience you in a way that really brings us comfort and peace in the midst of our difficulties, Lord. So we love you, and we lift this time up to you, and pray this all in your son's name. Amen. And so, like I typically do, what we're going to do is I will read here 2 Chronicles 20, 18 through 34, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. If you have your Bibles, please open up with me. Otherwise, just feel free to close your eyes and listen along. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18 through 34. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they had went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Then Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness. They looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Beraka to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Thus Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shili. He walked in the way of Asa his father and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. The high places, however, were not taken away. The people had not yet set their hearts upon the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, from the first to last, are written in the chronicles of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. So last week, when we went through this book, and we went through the first half of 2 Chronicles 20, we saw a couple different ways to combat fear and anxiety really bubble and boil to the surface. And the first thing we saw was that the people of Jerusalem and Judah and Jehoshaphat took their anxieties and fears to the Lord, and they reminded themselves of God's sovereignty. So they really refocused and made sure that they were relying on the sovereignty of the Lord. And the second thing that we saw bubble and boil to the surface was that they were given a promise from the Lord, and they clung to that promise. And we too have promises in Scripture that we can cling to. And so today we're going to look at two things as well. Today, I think there are two main things that boil to the surface as we look at 2 Chronicles 20. We see that the people have some very real threats facing them. And what they choose to do is they choose to praise and give thanks and worship the Lord, despite the fact that they have threats on coming to them. And so the first thing we're going to look at is that the people, in the midst of their threats and their fears and their anxieties, are giving praise and worship and thanks to the Lord. And the second thing in this story, and I think we see this in both last week's chunk of Scripture and this week's chunk of Scripture, is that the people do this all together. Throughout the whole story, the people of Judah, Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat are combating their fears and anxiety as a community. And so those are the two things we're going to really work through today. And last week, we saw the people poured their hearts out in prayer. We saw that they told God how they were feeling. Specifically, in verse 3, we see Jehoshaphat was afraid, and so he set out to seek the Lord. Then they displayed trust in the sovereignty of God. They received a promise from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, speaking to Jehaziel, and then they clung to that promise, and we're going to see them continue to cling to that promise today. But that first thing that we can look at today in combating our fear and anxieties is giving praise and thanksgiving. And so I want to turn to just the very first two verses that we read here in verse 18 and 19. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And so right away in this text, we see that the people here are worshiping and praising the Lord. But they didn't just stop there. They took it even further. They weren't hiding in their houses, worshiping, praising, sitting around their dinner table, just doing it in the privacy of their own home. They weren't necessarily just doing it out and about. But they took it even further. They appointed some men to go before the army. They dressed them in a whole bunch of fancy clothes and outfits and had them praise the Lord before the army. And so they're putting on display praising and worshiping the Lord in the front of their army. That, to me, seems like a fairly strange military tactic, to have a bunch of guys going before your army specifically saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Now, if I was experiencing the situation that they were going through, there's three invading armies standing before me, my first thought would not be, Let's get a bunch of dudes, put them in fancy clothes, and have them sing and worship and praise. Not only is that telling the enemy where we are, how is that helping prepare our men for battle? But I think there's a great deal of insight and wisdom for us on how we can combat fear and anxieties from that specific example. Even though it seems contrary to typical military efforts, it's really important that when we experience a threat in our lives, when we have fear and anxiety, that we focus our eyes on the Lord. And what we set our eyes on, what we cast our gaze upon, what we are looking at in the midst of those trials, what we concentrate on, what we meditate on, can drastically reshape our thinking and our perspective on what we are experiencing. And so the people in this story, rather than fixating on the enemy, the great horde, as we see in verse 12, the great horde that's before them, they're focusing on worshiping and praising the Lord. And see, this isn't the only place in Scripture where we actually see this recommended or even commanded to us to do when we're experiencing threats, when we're experiencing fears and anxieties. And so if we will turn here to Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read a couple chunks here. We're going to read Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. We see a second spot in Scripture where we're recommended to focus our eyes on thanksgiving and praise to the Lord in the midst of our fears and anxieties. So here we have Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so in multiple places in Scripture, we actually see God's people focusing on giving thanks and giving praise to the Lord and worshiping him. Here we see, specifically in Philippians, we see the Lord is at hand, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we see in multiple places, praise, worship, give thanks in the midst of trials and difficulties. One thing I want to note here, though, is it doesn't make those things go away. If we're experiencing fear and anxiety and we're combating it, we're wrestling it, and we're working at trying to wrestle through these things with the Lord, doing those things doesn't make fear and anxiety go away. Or it helps us make fear and anxiety go away, but what it doesn't do is it doesn't make the threat go away. Even though these people are worshiping and praising the Lord and have put men in holy robes before the army, their enemy is still there, and they still have to work through those things. Now, you and I don't have three enemy invading nations at our gates, and we probably aren't going to be appointing people to go before us as we go about our lives to worship and praise the Lord, to remind us to give thanks. But there are some practical things that you and I can do to really help work on putting before us worship and praise and thanksgiving. One of the first things, we're talking about worship, is we can worship. We can find a worship song or Christian music that we really resonate with. We can put that on a disc, we can put it on our MP3 player, and we can put it in our CD player in our car and close the windows, drive down the highway, and crank it up. And you and I can sing along with that and really give our hearts to the Lord. And maybe it's a song where we're just giving praise and blessing and we're giving thanksgiving, excited about what the Lord has done in our lives. Or perhaps it's a song more like one of David's Psalms, where it's darker, it's heavier, it's something we have to really wrestle through and work through, and we're pouring our hearts out. Maybe we find ourselves weeping before the Lord, really wrestling through difficulties that we're experiencing. And so we can worship, we can sing to God, and that can help us shift our perspective and shift our gaze to praise thanksgiving of our Lord. Another thing we can do is we can find a piece of Scripture. We can write it down, a promise, like we talked about last week. We can write it down, we can memorize it. But another way we can work with putting it on display like these men in holy attire is we can write it down and stick it somewhere. We're going to see it regularly. Put it on a sticky note. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Put it on an index card and hang it from the visor of your car. Put it on an index card and put it in your back pocket or in your wallet. Put it somewhere. You're going to see it regularly so that, like those men in holy robes, they're ever in front of us. We're able to see that truth, that promise, and remind us to worship and praise the Lord. Another thing, I've learned this from my wife, is we can set an alarm on our phones, on our Fitbits, on our Google calendars, on the alarm clock, sitting on our nightstand, and many other ways. We can set an alarm to remind us to stop and pray, to fix our gaze on the Lord and worship and praise Him for some of the blessings that we've experienced throughout the day, or to remind ourselves of a truth that we're wrestling to really grapple with. And another thing we can do is we can call out very specific blessings that God has given us. We can do this in prayer. I can take time and really go through and say, hey, thanks God for this thing that happened this morning. This was wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of my children. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for some of the material things that I experience or the hobbies that I get to do or the other people and relationships that I have. And it's when we fix our gaze on some of the wonderful things God has blessed us with, we can really begin to shift our gaze towards God's goodness in the midst of a difficult trial. And it's by doing these things, we're actually fulfilling a command that Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, when it says we should take every thought captive to obey Christ. And when our minds begin to wander and fears and anxieties really become to creep into our hearts and minds, we can fix our gaze back on the goodness of God. And now, I don't want to give an illusion that these things are easy. These things aren't something that just come particularly easy for all people. And depending on your level or severity of your fear and anxiety, this can be very difficult. But I can speak from personal experience that this is something that really does help us grapple with these things. And what we're learning here in 2 Chronicles 20 can help us wrestle with these things and impact our emotional, our spiritual, and our mental well-being. Just this last week, something happened in my life that sent me into a small spiral of anxiety. It was late in the evening, and a situation came up, and I was really wrestling with it. My heart had twisted into a knot. I was feeling that anxiousness in the pit of my stomach. It had become somewhat of a physical reaction. And so it was near bedtime, and now I'm laying in bed, and it's keeping me awake. It's something that I just can't seem to let go. And what God brought to my mind was actually the message we had last week on God's sovereignty and His promises. And so I was laying there in bed and I said, okay, God, You're in control of this situation and I don't really know what to do with it and I'm not in control of it. And so, Lord, I'm going to lay this at Your feet. I'm going to try to lay this at Your feet and recognize You're sovereign over this situation. And so I was wrestling through that. God, You're in control. And I was still struggling with it. And the knot was getting a little looser, but I decided, okay, well, what else can I do? Well, Lord, I just want to reflect on today. And so I spent some time reflecting on what had happened throughout the day, and I gave praise to the Lord for some of those things. Specifically, I had spent some time with some friends virtually playing a video game, and it was just such a fun thing to do. And so I'm like, okay, God, I thank You for these people in my life, and I thank You for how good they have been to me and throughout many, many years. And so I called those people out by name and gave thanks to the Lord for their friendship. And then I started to think about my children, and I thank God for them, and I thank God for my wife and how profoundly she's impacted my growth in my relationship with the Lord and how she's impacted my growth as a person. And this really helped me put this anxious thought, this situation in perspective. It really helped me realign my sights on the goodness of God. Even though this difficult thing had come up at the end of the day, He had blessed me so tremendously throughout the day. And now this wasn't some monumental situation. I didn't have three invading enemies coming up against me and knocking at the gates. But it was amazing to see God help me train my mind to go towards focusing on praising and thanksgiving and worshiping Him in the midst of a difficult situation. And so one of the things that we can learn from the people here, the people of Judah, Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat, is that we can worship and praise the Lord in the midst of difficult situations when we're trying to combat our fears and anxieties. And the second thing that we can do, the second thing that we can learn from the nation of Judah in this is the value of community. Now, I want to look back at just a few verses, some from last week and some from this week. So if you listen along with me here, we see in verse 4 of chapter 20, "And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." And we see again in verse 13, "Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." And again, we saw in today's, in verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord." All of Judah and Jerusalem, they faced this fear, this anxiety. They did it together. They did it as a community, all of them together seeking the Lord. And when you and I are facing difficult situations in our lives, and when stress, anxiety, and fear comes bearing down on our shoulders, I think you and I may find it tempting to isolate ourselves and despair. But if we stay in community, if we keep ourselves engaged with the people around us, doing life together, we can find support and encouragement and uplifting things within that. In fact, we're even commanded to do it in Hebrews 24 through 25, where it says, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so we're commanded to do this. We're commanded to do this, to stick together and be in community even when we're experiencing difficult things. And when you and I do that, when we stay in relationship with each other in the midst of our trials and circumstances, and we're honest about what we're going through, we can begin to see a number of things happen. We begin to form deeper relationships with each other, and that can bring us deeper healing, and it grows us closer together. Like we see here in Hebrews 10:24, we can encourage one another and build each other up. We can point each other to the things that we were talking about last week. We have a sovereign God who's in control of the situation, and so we can remind each other of the sovereignty of God. We can remind each other of the promises of God or the truths of God or pieces of scripture that are encouraging and helpful in a difficult time. And those things can be really good for us. And if we stay in community and we're honest with each other, we also can pray very specifically for each other. And I find this incredibly faith-building. When I pray over a brother or a sister in a very specific way for God to answer a difficult situation in their life, and then I watch God come through. I get to see my living and active God doing something in another person's life, and that builds my faith up, and that builds up the faith of others around us. When we stay in community, we also know that we're not alone, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who we can hold hands with and walk through difficult situations together. And we also have, in community, examples of people who've gone through similar, probably not exactly the same, but similar situations and learn from their experiences, the missteps that they've made or the successes and the ways God has blessed them in the midst of those difficulties. And there's so many more benefits than just those things, but those are some of the things that we can get when we really work to stay in community. But just like giving praise and worship and thanksgiving can be difficult and isn't necessarily easy for all of us, I think seeking community in the midst of a trial and a difficulty, when we're combating fear and anxiety, also can be difficult. And some of us will find this more difficult than others. And there's a verse that I have to continually remind myself of because this is my natural tendency. It's in Proverbs 18:1, and it says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." I'm going to read that again. "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." I have to go back to this verse quite often. When I'm struggling with fear or anxiety or just sin in general, it is my temptation to isolate myself and to really hunker down, and I call it turtling. I go like a turtle back into my shell and want to remove myself from people. But this verse here in Proverbs 18:1 really convicts me and reminds me that I have to stay away from that sinful tendency and push myself into community. And it's for my benefit, and it's for the benefit of the body of Christ around me. And I know in our current situation as a state with shelter-in-place orders, and as a nation with some of those things happening as well, and as a world, it is more difficult for us to do what we're commanded in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, to not neglect meeting together. But even in the midst of that, as it's grown more difficult, we can focus and work to do that. We can have Zoom calls. We can do Marco Polo. There's a game out there that you can play online called Jackbox, I believe. There's a lot of different things and platforms that we can utilize with technology to continue to connect with each other. So I'd encourage you in this time, if you're wrestling with that and struggling to stay in community, there are some things that we can be doing. Just like the people of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat stayed in community in the midst of their trials and difficulties. And so as we close up here, I want to quickly recap the last 2 weeks, and then we'll close. Some of the things that we've learned is that fear and anxiety come from both real threats, like three invading nations, and also perceived ones, things that we think could be happening around us. And it's a very normal part of human experience. Another thing we learned is that fear and anxiety can drive us to the Lord, just as it did the people of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat, or it can be like an octopus and wrap its tentacles around our minds and begin to dictate our thoughts and our actions and the choices that we make. We also learned that last week we can combat fear and anxiety by relying on the sovereignty of the Lord. We can remind ourselves that He's in control of the situations that we're facing, and we can try to lay those things at His feet. He's in control of all, and we can stand on Him. We also learn that we can combat fear and anxiety by relying on the promises of God. We can go to Scripture and really begin to learn some of the things that He has promised us and that we can cling to in the midst of our difficulties and remind each other. We also learn that we can combat fear and anxiety today by redirecting our thoughts to praise and thanksgiving and worship of the Lord. And that it's by doing those things that we can really shift our perspective to the goodness of our Lord. And the last thing we talked about today was that we can combat fear and anxiety by doing life together, by sticking with each other through difficult trials and circumstances. And so as a body of believers, we can work to point each other to these things. And it's critical for our spiritual, our emotional, and our mental health. And so I hope you guys have found our talks here on fear and anxiety helpful, and I pray that we are all running to the Lord in the midst of these difficult things that are happening around us. So let's close up here and pray before I call Mark and Rob to join me. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak on this. And I just pray that as the world around us is in upheaval and chaos and things have been upended in our daily routines, that you would really help us take any fears and anxieties that we're experiencing to you, that we would run to you and we would rely on your sovereignty, God, that we would cling to your truth and the promises you've given us in Scripture, that we would be thankful for the blessings that we have, and we would worship and praise you in the midst of these trials, God, and that you would help us stay connected with each other, even when we have to social distance and try to keep other people healthy, Lord. And so I just pray that you would be helping each one of us do those things. I pray over our hearts and minds and our lives as we go throughout our week. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, Cedar Creek. With me, I have Mark, Pastor Mark, and Pastor Rob joined me here on stage to have a discussion about the message on fear and anxiety. So did you guys have any thoughts on the message or anything we've talked about the last 2 weeks?
I'm really too scared to say anything. So. Bad joke.
Not really. Well, I did. I appreciate your extracting those thoughts from that story in Chronicles. It's that was a real event that happened to real people, and we could learn something from them. And I just had I've been thinking this week about the idea of expressing gratitude, and so often in the Bible, gratitude comes along with worship. I mean, I just was reading this morning in Psalm 95, and it says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and is a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. And when we express thanks to someone, as we're encouraged to do, it puts them above. It puts them higher than us. You know, when we thank someone for something, it's because they had something that they gave to us. We didn't have it, and now they gave it to us. And I've just been thinking about that relationship and how expressing gratitude to God puts us in a proper position with Him. He's great. He's God. He's on the throne. And these people there in Chronicles, the kingdom of Judah, they recognize that God was able. They weren't. And so they came to Him with thanksgiving and put themselves in a position of worship. And I think that's really a good place to be when we're anxious, to be in a place of submission to God. And
right. We're remembering the things that you talked about last week, and that is that God is sovereign. He's very powerful, and that God gives us promises. He's very good. And so it's being thankful. I think you're 100% right. Being thankful forces us to remember the things you talked about before. Okay, God has the ability to care for me or give me something, and He's choosing to do it. And that's what thankfulness is, I think. Yeah, that's a good thought.
Because I can't handle the things that cause me to be anxious alone. There's oftentimes things I need to do. Just this week, you know, thinking about anxiety, it made me anxious. There's things that are come upon us that we have to deal with. I mean, it's life. You have to deal with it, and it can make you anxious, and giving it to or taking it to God doesn't relieve you from needing to do something, but it can put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing to speak to here, that sometimes, you know, when we talk about being thankful, it can seem like we're saying, this thing is happening, but somehow if I can just be thankful for it, it'll go away. It can feel that way almost.
Yeah, that's basically what happened in this story. They were afraid, and so they went and sought the Lord, and He gave them a promise that they wouldn't have to do anything, and they show up, and the army's dead. But that's not always the case. There's a lot of times where we give a lot of thanks and praise, and we rely on His sovereignty, and we have to do something and go fight the battle. In fact, if you read through Jehoshaphat's story in chapter 17 through 19, they have another conflict, and he does go to war, and he dresses as a king, and the other king doesn't. He's trying to hide himself because he's been prophesied he's going to die, this other king. And the other king ends up dying, even though he's not dressed as a king, and God keeps Jehoshaphat safe. Mm-hmm. And he had to fight the battle, even though, you know, there was terrible things to be done.
coming off of what Rob said, one of the questions that comes to my mind and maybe comes to your mind when you hear this is, are we saying is Justin saying, don't worry, be happy? Is that what Paul is saying in Philippians? Don't be anxious, pray and be happy. Is this a Band-Aid approach? Is that what we're talking about?
Do you remember that song? Are you old enough to know what
it means? No worries. That one?
No. That's from Lion King.
That's from Lion King. That's what I think of. Don't worry.
Hakuna Matata, which was a good one, too. Don't worry. Be happy.
Yeah, I know that song. Okay. I do know that song. But so, I immediately think of Timon and Pumbaa. I don't know why.
What was the question?
the question is, are we just putting a Band-Aid? Is doing these things, bringing things to God, being thankful, being in community, is it just a Band-Aid to cover up bad feelings? Are we just saying, don't worry, just think nice thoughts?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
I don't think so. Go ahead.
Well, let me just maybe interject something here quickly, sure. Because that's a great question and let's answer it. But before we get there, maybe we should just acknowledge something, that anxiety, feeling anxious, all of us do it. I mean, that's a we talked about this last week. Some that's just part of the human condition, and it's not always even bad. But all of us fall somewhere on this spectrum of anxiety. I mean, everything from something happened and it kind of makes me nervous, but I just compartmentalize it, forget about it, and kind of go about my day, and it doesn't really affect me at all. That's one end of the spectrum. All the way to that anxiety becomes overwhelming. It mm-hmm. becomes all I can think about. It becomes debilitating. It completely shuts me down. You know, that there's a and everything in between
right.
You know, where I feel that way sometimes and sometimes I don't, or I'm somewhere in the middle. So when we're talking about this, we recognize that there's not a one size fits all to everything.
Right.
These principles that we're going to talk about are true because God says they're true and God makes them true. But how they apply and how they fit to us depends somewhat on where we are in the spectrum. And so some of you, as we talk about this stuff, may think, like, what's the big deal? Why are we talking about this at all? Yeah, stuff happens, but it just kind of, I deal with it and move on and don't even think about it. Others may think you're not going nearly far enough, or you're just trying to apply a Band-Aid to something that's a much deeper problem. So we recognize that, and we're not trying to say that everybody, you know, there's just like, here's the pill for you, the pill.
Or,
you know,
do these four things and everything will be fine,
The principles are true, but we're somewhere on this spectrum, so how God uses them in our lives. And so as we talk about these things, recognize we know that that's true. And if you know, where you are particularly, I think, gets into, well, there's just ways that we will all have to deal with that, I guess.
Yeah, and I think if we say things here that cause you concern or things you think, whoa, what do they mean by that? Please contact us, and we'd be glad to, any one of us would be glad to talk it through.
So, is it a Band-Aid?
Is it a Band-Aid?
Well, I don't know if it's a Band-Aid. I think Thanksgiving, speaking specifically about Thanksgiving, I don't think it's a Band-Aid, but I think that it's very, very, very powerful. And for me, the way that this makes sense that is being thankful when I'm anxious isn't looking at the situation that's making me anxious and somehow trying to be thankful for that circumstance, or somehow trying to pretend that that circumstance isn't anxiety causing. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Or it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. You know what? I shouldn't be anxious about this. Well, I don't know. I mean, we said last week there are anxiety causing circumstances, and having that feeling of even fear, that's not a bad thing necessarily. So it's not that, oh, there's this thing, and I'm going to take thankful and somehow erase that thing with it.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. I think it's rather saying that thing, that circumstance that's making me anxious or afraid is very real, but here's another very real circumstance that I can be thankful for. And recognizing that both of them are happening at the same time, and what it does, if I remember, okay, this is real, and I'm afraid, and I need to talk to God and all that stuff, but at the same time, remember, this is just as real, and it forces me, when I think about that, it reminds me that God is powerful, it reminds me that God is good. What it does is it helps me to deal with this one so much better. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's not, thankfulness is not an eraser to make the things go away. It's a tool to help me to handle this one well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like I was talking about in Psalms, it puts us in a proper relationship, puts God in his proper place and us in our proper place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it shifts our perspective.
Right.
You know, when we gaze upon the might and the grandeur and the power of our God, the size of our enemies shrink. Like the size of our anxieties, they begin to become smaller because we have an infinite Lord, you know, he's in control of it all. And it's like putting a little tiny ball next to a colossal one. One is just monumentally larger.
And if thankfulness, we've said, helps us remember God is powerful and good, he's sovereign and he gives his promises. If that's not true, well, then trying to be thankful is just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I'm stuck with dealing with this circumstance all by myself, you know, and there's And so I'm trying to drum up thankfulness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like if the things you talked about before aren't true, if God isn't powerful and strong and looking out for our best interests and willing and able to help us in this anxiety-causing circumstance, if that's not true, well, being thankful then is just kind of a band-aid.
Yeah.
You're just making it up.
Yep. You're just trying to ignore it or you know, something
so,
like that.
So we're not talking about positive thinking.
We're not talking about positive thinking. We're talking about recognizing
what's true.
Reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
A reality that we experience by faith.
And sometimes that's easier than others, you know, because, again, we talk about that spectrum. And, you know, if I'm anxious because I got to get home before the dump closes so I can take my garbage out, you know, that's a pretty small anxiety. Yeah. And pretty easy to find all kinds of thankful things to offset that. On the other side of the spectrum, when it becomes that debilitating thing, it can be harder to find something to be thankful for. And but I don't think they're gone. And I think it's just as true on that end of the spectrum as it is on this end of the spectrum.
And I think during this time in our world, where a lot of the things that we enjoy. Getting together with other people, baseball, you know, all the things that are, it seems like every day still things are getting canceled. We can still find things to be thankful for that are, like you said, we can't put a good, oh, it's really nice to be isolated. It's not.
No.
But there's other things in the midst of this that we can be honestly, sincerely thankful for.
Like what? I mean, let's get real practical. Yeah. Like what?
Well, I've got some examples. Yeah. There are family members who I email twice a year. They'll send me an email, a long email. I'll send them a long email back, and then I won't hear for 6 months. There's a number of family members who I've had more communication with in the last 6 weeks than I have in a year or two. And so that has been fantastic. I've been able to catch up with a lot of people. I discovered Marco Polo. And so I have my entire, Emily's parents and my parents and brothers and sisters all on this one chat. And so we're constantly sending stuff back and forth to each other. And that's fun. I get to see what's going on in other people's lives that didn't exist 6 weeks ago. And that's a huge blessing.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming, but it's a huge blessing.
So I it's...
Simple pleasures. Yeah. I mean, I think there's simple pleasures that we can still enjoy. Going out for a walk or a bike ride. Today is a beautiful example. The sun is shining. It's going to be in the 60s. Spring is really here. The daffodils are up. I mean, we live near the university, and walking through the university, there's a whole area of daffodils, and they kind of bloom from the bottom up. And every day there's a couple more rows that are blooming, you know, and that's a pleasure right from God.
And I think that's the kind of pleasure thing we can be thankful for that we might miss otherwise because it happens so much.
Yeah.
And if you're just kind of going about your day and everything is the same, you zip by those daffodils and never see it. And that may seem, I hope that doesn't seem like we're just trying to make stuff up. I don't think so. Mm. It is a blessing, and God knows that those daffodils and the warm weather, this stirs our hearts. I mean, for all of us, we live through the long winters and the spring comes and it stirs our hearts, and God does it specifically for us, knowing we're going to love this, and we might miss it if we weren't all at home wishing we could be somewhere
else. And it's scriptural to let God's creation speak to us about Him.
Absolutely.
That is right out of Romans. My favorite passage.
Yeah.
And one of the things is when we find it easier to focus on things to be thankful for and the blessings God gives us, we begin to train our minds. You know, Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If when things are easy, we take some time to reflect and be thankful. When things get harder, it's easier to find those things to be grateful for. The other day, I was in my shower, and I was simply excited that I had hot water. And that's, you know, not something I think about all the time. But there have been times in my life where the water heater didn't work and I took a cold shower, and that's no fun. But we have the blessing of running water, and that's not something everybody in the world gets to enjoy.
Yeah.
And so it's little things like that, even in the midst of good times, when we're on the high peaks of our lives, we can begin to train our mind so that we go there more naturally in the difficult times.
Right. Yeah. And I think that you know, all of us, probably, I'll say this, most of us really, it wouldn't take real long to come up with a whole list of things to be thankful for. And that's a good exercise for us to do.
Yes.
But just again, thinking about that whole spectrum thing, let me speak to the far end of the spectrum on the other end, because we've all been there somewhere down that spectrum at different times. And I've shared this story before, but when I was working through some of the deepest, hardest depression of my life, long, very, very difficult time, which you'd said the other day, anxiety and depression are very
closely linked. Mm-hmm.
So just a time in my life when it just felt, this was many years ago, when I just felt completely overwhelmed, this long, unending, hopeless string of waking up, no hope, no energy. I can remember going to bed at night and being so thankful that I could lay in my bed and it was quiet and there were no demands putting on me and I was going to be able to sleep. And I can remember not trying to drum it up, but just recognizing, Lord, this day was horrible. I'm pretty sure tomorrow's going to be horrible. This is sweet. Thank you for this right now. And I can say, in all honesty, that was not a Band-Aid. That was a very real, powerful thing where I saw the goodness and the sovereignty of God. And it seems very little, incredibly powerful. And it's this thing to hang on to in the midst of the darkness. Yeah. And so I believe thankfulness is, Mark, like you said, it is fundamental to our worship of God, mm-hmm. and it is incredibly powerful in our living life well here.
Yeah. Maybe we could transition to that second portion, talking about walking through or addressing anxieties in community. And so again, I'm going to ask, I like to ask questions. So is this... are you telling me that I should, when I feel anxious, I should just find the closest person and dump my anxieties on them so that I'll, feel better? Like they say, what is it? A burden shared is half the burden or something. So you take half my anxieties and then I'll feel half as anxious. Hmm. So
if you take all my anxieties,
I'll feel zero anxious. So is that what community, is that how anxieties, is that how we live in community? Or
where somebody cares?
Can I just dump them on you and expect that you're going to bear them for
carry
me?
Carry them for you? Go ahead.
Well, yes. I mean, part of the answer to that question is yes. In Galatians 6, I think it says,
2.
"Carry each other's burdens, and this is how you fulfill the law of Christ." And that there's a lot of things that can be burdens, but this is one of them. And I think that even in Hebrews, you shared the Hebrews verse.
Yeah.
There's two of them there, but one of them is fellowship with one another every day, so that you don't become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's an anxiety-causing thing, and being together takes us out of it. So part of the answer to your question is yes. We need to interact with each other, and it's not just I'm going to go to God. I mean, that's a huge part of it, and you have to do that. But oftentimes, maybe most of the time, part of God's answer, part of God's provision is, well, here's this person that can help you
process through it and work through it.
I was looking at that verse in Galatians. It says to fulfill the bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I thought, well, the law of Christ, we're not under the law, we're under grace. The law of Christ is love one another. And so bearing each other's burdens, helping others, being sensitive to others, to do what we can, I think is to love each other.
Yeah, in that, there's probably some recognition of our own limitations to bear burdens. So, we can only help people carry so much. And so there is some of that going on there that, I want to come alongside and help, but I'm not God, so I can't carry it completely for you.
That's right. It's interesting in Galatians, just a couple of verses farther on, it said, for each will have to bear his own load. And so there's a – we can't completely – I can't completely enter into your anxieties. I can hear you. I can offer my empathy. I can – you know, but I can't enter in. I can't be you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, and so there's a limitation mm-hmm. on the amount.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we do need to carry each other's
yeah.
burdens
yes.
and have people that we can come to with our anxieties. But I think what we're saying here is that both sides yeah. have to recognize the limitations,
right.
and that changes expectations.
Right.
You know, there's a in Isaiah it says, "Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he?" And I think that applies here too. And
mm-hmm.
it's not that we can't help each other. It's instead, what do we keep saying? I am not God, which means I am not sovereign. I cannot
yeah.
powerfully mm-hmm. change everything. Nor am I as good as God. So
yeah.
only God, there's things only God can do. Now you and I can. I can help you and your anxiety go to there, and that's really a lot of what it is. Or
yeah.
you can help me and my anxiety go
yeah.
to there. But
we talked the other day about is a requirement here that I go and I wrestle through my issues with God before I go to anyone else? And I think Rob, you had some thoughts about that. That
well, yeah, I think that sometimes I mean we have to get to God in this
right.
process. If I'm going to work through my anxiety, well, I can't do it just by myself. But I also cannot do it just with you. I have got to bring God here because only God is good and
mm-hmm.
and powerful. Only
yep.
God is sovereign and gives promises.
He has no limitations.
He has no limitations. But the issue is, well, what's the order of that?
Right.
Or how does that play out? And sometimes we can think, I don't know, sometimes it's we can think, oh, I have to go to God first. Perhaps, and I don't know if this seems like anathema to some people, I almost wonder if how we're wired makes a difference.
Yeah.
Some of us are such external processors that it just helps to have somebody that you can just kind of work this
yeah.
through, and it almost helps you then to go to
yeah.
God, or this person can help you to get to God. So I don't think personally it has to be, okay, I've worked this through completely with God, and now he's sending me to you.
Yeah.
That might be. For me, oftentimes, that's the way it is because I'm such an internal processor. And so I can go and read and I can wrestle through this 90% of this with God before I go somewhere else. But other people are different. Other people may have to start here and go
yeah.
to God.
And maybe then you go to God together.
Yep.
Even
yeah.
Like the, I think of the friends that carried their friend to Jesus, you know,
right.
lowered him through the roof.
Right.
Yeah. They brought him to Jesus together
yeah.
because he
yep.
couldn't get there
he
alone.
Couldn't get there alone, yeah. And some of us can't get there without
oh.
some help. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah. That's a great example.
Yeah, yeah. And there, we each have our inclinations. Like some will naturally go to God more quickly and
mm-hmm.
work through it, and but then they may never share it in community. So that can be a danger.
Yep.
You know, we take it to God, but we never talk to anybody else about it, and so we're really not growing in our relationships with the body of believers.
Because we're strong and we can
yeah,
handle it.
I can do it myself. But and then there's the other side where we externally process and we only go to people and we never take it to
yeah.
God. And so there's a danger there
mm-hmm.
too. So really we need both, and you're going to probably each of us fall on our own spectrum.
Which direction we need to be nudged.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, we all probably need to be nudged one way or the other.
Right.
I'm more of the take it to the Lord and don't talk to
right.
other people
right.
about it unless
right.
it gets so bad
right.
that, you know, it's
that
debilitating.
It's written all over your face and we
yes.
all know.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and there is something to that. You know, what we're not saying is that, you know, everything that goes through your head or your heart needs to come out.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about a spectrum
yeah.
here, and that's and that's one side of the spectrum. The other side of the spectrum is like what you were saying, ain't nothing ever coming out.
yeah.
And neither of those are good. And so somewhere we have to figure
yeah.
out where. And a lot of it has to do with how God has wired us. A lot of it has to do with what God is asking of us,
mm-hmm.
honestly. And that's where we have to go to God because God knows, okay, in this circumstance, you really do need to go talk to this person. And sometimes there's a this
mm-hmm.
person that helps. I've noticed that over the years that when I'm perhaps anxious, and people often want to help, but for me personally, having lots and lots of people come and want to talk about it, is hard for me because I'm so interior, because I'm such an internal processor. I got to have one or two or three people that I can go to, you know what I mean, who know me. I've developed some kind of a routine, some kind of comfortableness with them. So for me personally, that's one of the things I have to do, is I have to cultivate relationships that I can go to and say, I need help carrying this burden.
So a lot of help can be anxiety producing.
Well, yeah.
It takes energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you have those well-worn paths, you can go there without exhausting some of your resources.
But other people not getting help can be anxiety producing.
Right.
Where is everybody at? Yeah. And so, you know, it's we need to know, and it's incumbent, I think. It would be great if people would just know all of this stuff and do it right. Right meaning the way that I want it or you want it or you want it or you want it. It's incumbent on us, I think. It's coming on each of us individually to develop the relationships and to go to the Lord and learn how to do this well. And not just demand that everybody else figure out how I like it and do it that way. Yeah. You know, why aren't you calling me? Why are you calling me? You
know,
it's incumbent upon us to kind of create that.
And overall, that we be loving one another. You know, I think that's to fulfill the law of Christ. Yeah. I mean, I think that's to love each other.
And it's in working through those things that we can experience great blessing. So in the story, I didn't get into it, but it's called the Valley of Baraka. Well, Baraka means blessing. Mm-hmm. And so the people went to the Lord. They did these four things and some more things, and they experienced God's blessing at the end of it. And I think when we really wrestle through difficult situations and we wrestle through combating fear and anxiety, we find blessing. We find a closer and deeper relationship with the Lord. If that's what we're working at throughout a difficult situation, the sweetness of our relationship with God, it becomes even sweeter. And so working through those things can be just such a good thing at the end when we get through it.
And that sounds like a great place to wrap it up.
Rob,
you want to pray?
Sure. Lord, we just thank you so much that you know us. I just want to thank you that you are sovereign. You are powerful. All of this that we see, I believe it's in your control. You sit on the throne. You rule the universe. You rule this world. You rule time. You rule our space, Lord, from the biggest picture to the smallest detail, you are the king, and I'm grateful for that. But Lord, you're good at the same time, and you see each of us, and you give each of us promises to us, motivated by your love. You can control, and you long to bless, Lord. That's an amazing thing, and Lord, we live in a world that causes anxiety, but we're your boys and girls. We're your sons and daughters. We're your people. And in this anxiety-causing world, Lord, we can hang on to your hand. We can walk with you, and we can see your power. We can see your goodness. And you've given us each other, Lord, where we can walk together in this. All of these are sweet, beautiful things, Lord, and we just thank you for them. Make us men and women who are thankful, Lord. Make us men and women who remember the blessings that of our relationship with you and our relationship with each other. And Lord, I think as we do that, you will walk us through these difficult times. We'll be a light and an honor to you. We'll be a light to the world and a blessing to each other, Lord. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.